Song. We take steps heavy with loss, both sides of the chain depleted by one in the battleground. The eraser triplets reduced to twins, their third dispatched by the great raven ways. Ain't have no chance. The brothers had been confined together in the womb, in the cell, and finally in this open world of the killing games. Now they're separate for the first time. The two that are left wet the swastikas on their necks with tears, and their third killed by a black man at that. On our side, we lost 80, a good man that done bad long time ago. Big, jovial man somehow, despite the blood on everything. Not a bad fight, but it wasn't a good one either. 80 hesitated for just a moment, and in that moment he found himself punctured in a way that would never be patched. Out on the circuit after the loss, Razor looks at me as we step through, crunching the evidence of spring's relent on our feet. He asking for a song. I don't got many remembrances memorized, I say.
What you mean?
Razor says.
All that shit you sing sound like memorial shit, so go ahead.
I look to Bells, who walks head up, crying and quiet.
I'll sing one if you ain't got one. All this goddamn singing this whole year, now singer ain't got a song in him? Imagine that. That's fuck, bro. Give me a tune at least. I'll freestyle one time for my bro,
Razor says. A tune to hum comes to me immediately. I go. I see Razor taking it in, closing his eyes, gripping the hilt of his weapon. He calls it San Spurita, when he was here in the living. 80 and Razor and Bells would rhyme the miles away, passing the bars back and forth between them. More than a few times they formed their rhymes around my songs. Today, Razor takes my sound in, breathes it through his body as we follow the anchor down a river I'll never know the name of.
I love my boy, a fat man.
Right away, Bells laughs. Another story of the name is, 80 was first called 800, but the way he thrust himself into working his body after barely winning his first two fights, story is, he lost two humans worth, changed his name to fit his size. 80.
I loved him when he got thin. I know we done some wrong, but Lord, he gone. So please go on, let him in.
And Bells take it from him to the same tune.
Reggie was a legend, ride or die, sink or swim. He stood with me, and now he's free. So please, God, let him in.
I feel it passing through me, and I do not deny the spirit.
His mama named him a king's name, cause she knew what he had within. His only sin was too human, so please God let him in. So please Lord let him in.
For the next several miles, the story of 80 is told in song, and the floating eyes swirl the air capturing it. Good TV, somebody somewhere is thinking. And they write. Part of me hopes the kin 80 keeps is watching. Part of me hopes they find the strength not to.
They don't call us sing for nothing. You feel me, motherfuckers?
Razor says, looking straight up into the floating eye.
We earned that name on this side.
He laughs the last of his tears away. The Eraser twins don't bother making a word. They listen silently through the march. Surely their hearts sing songs in praise of the piece of themselves they lost. A faraway light in the brush greets us, and so this sad march is coming to a close. I can feel that Bells and Razor aren't quite ready to settle in. Can tell from their gait, their eyes. the dark leaving nothing but the hurt clear. The anchor pulls us to its stopping place above the fire pit, as if to show its power it always rests above the fire, a witch that cannot be burned. And though the anchor pulls constantly, we slow our walk. The killing game's like this. When someone is lost to the grounds, often another is received. 80 and Lou Bob and Eraser was lost at the last arena. Lou Bob forgotten, as is so many that go inside. I try to remember to hold him in my singing in the morning. Though Sing Attica Sing lost 3, a single man is standing at the campfire. We watch him. The chain slows, forms a smile of bodies around him. There's a chorus of insect life and wind. The crackle of fire is the sound of nothing if you've heard it long enough. This fire crackle's different. Its flames darker than what seems natural. The wrists in the camp glow green, and finally we stop. A lot of us stand not 6 feet from the new member of the chain, who stands in front of the fire with a smile so huge it doesn't feel right. His teeth are a dull tan, and his body stands strong. It's the kind of body that has carried itself up and down, many, many times. He has lean muscle. His skin looks tight on him. His linen pants are tucked into high-top sneakers, and his shirt is elastic and compressed to his skin so that we can all see the shadows dancing up and down his muscles. "Hello," he says, smiling and waving. And as he does, we all grip a little harder onto the hurt we keep, because on each of his hands is a long double blade that is strapped to just below the knuckle, so it looks as if the metal were a part of him. He has 2 gold blades on his right hand and on his left, 1 gold and 1 obsidian. Razor steps to him first. "What up, bro? What they call you?" We watch, and the unsilenced of the nature around us gets real loud and clear. Bells takes a step forward. "You good, bro? What they call you, where you from?"
"My name is Simon J. Craft," he says,
and then he swipes his right-bladed hand at Razor's neck. Razor jumps back, and Sansparita is up and flashing before anybody that ain't seen the battleground a few times would have even had time to blink. Razor pulls the blade from the sheath, and already Bells is running up to assist. Razor cuts through the low light at Mr. Craft's head, and Craft sways back at the waist.
"My name is Simon J. Craft," he says,
as he twists in some impossible way to avoid Bell's crashing machete. Then next I know, Bell's blood flooding the ground. She doesn't even get to pull her blade back for a second go.
Georgina Ring Ya Bells Hickory. Seen a lot, done a lot, found a home in the hell. She never sold poison to kids, but the poison found the kids anyways, so what was the difference? If you don't have a cold, you have nothing. And Bells had a cold. You swing for your family. You hold your head high. You try to do right when you can. She didn't think she was the love type. She was wrong about that. She found it in hell, a home with love and singing.
Razor screams and raises his sword forward as I move to tend to Bells.
"It's Simon J."
The blades clash. The sound of killing metal explodes as they swipe at each other. Then Razor's razor on the ground and his body follows.
Edgerin Razor Boateng was bound to lose one. He hurt motherfuckers who tried him. He had a family. He was smart. But sometimes you have to do what you have to do. Blood asks for blood. He didn't make the rules. They made him. But he counted his blessings. He was home again. And her. He'd gone all this way to find a peace he'd never felt before. Bells, he'd had her. She'd had him. He wished he could hold her forever.
A slash across the neck so deep, he isn't on the ground a minute before his eyes close the last time. I hold Bells, and she looks at me, disappointed. before her eyes flutter and she gurgles to her end. I see the blood on my hands and look up at the twins, who don't know what to make of what they just seen. Everybody in the circuit seen some horror, but Razor and Bell's famous worldwide. Razor and Bell's some of the hardest in the games, both called Reapers, and both now still.
You one of us, brother?
Eraser One says as he approaches, holding his whip in one hand, his other extended as if to shake, hoping that the pinch of color in the man's skin is the shadows or a tan, anything but heritage. Simon J. Kraft walks with his own hand extended, suddenly calm, docile and in agreement. A warmth passes over Eraser One's face as he believes God has delivered him anew where he had taken, as though he's been vindicated. But before they can shake, Eraser's hand is on the ground, severed in another flash of violence.
Fucking!
He gets out before Simon J. Kraft slices his face and neck up good. The last Eraser turns to run, sprints pretty good holding the hoe. Bell's still warm in my arm. The brother, once a triplet, then briefly a twin, runs and runs. I lay Bell's down, and because I don't know how much time I have left myself, I quickly pull Razor's body beside hers, put her hand in his, so that at least if it's my last moments, I gave them something close to a rest they might tolerate. Finally, far off, Eraser hits the invisible thick made up of his own wrists pulled to the anchor. He struggles against it, running slower and slower, not because he's tired, but because the hold of the machine is stronger than his body ever could be. He doesn't stop struggling. He's still slowly clambering when Simon J. Kraft leaps into the air. They move together as if through sand, movements sullied by their bondage. And even in those slow movements, Ho Eraser is stabbed again and again in the back. He dies with his face in the earth and blood pouring from his back. The triplets reunited sooner than they ever would have imagined. And Simon J. Kraft walks back slowly to me. There's no song that comes to me, only the throb I feel in my long-gone hand. The feeling is more pronounced than any I felt when that hand was actually there. I look at the dead beside me, the best friends I had left in life, and I wonder, where is the fury? Where is the bloodlust? What part of me is gone now? If not now, when? I sit on a log and watch the fire. Simon J. Kraft returns, his shadow long behind him. I hold my spear up, its tip pointed to the sky. I feel my gone arm stretching toward this man, pulling to his neck as if to choke him, or maybe to his shoulder as if to try and coax him to peace. I feel it as if it were happening there in life before us. Simon J. Kraft, I say. Stop this. And Simon J. Kraft smiles as he says,
Yes, sir.